Straight talk from Israel.
You're listening to Israel News Talk Radio.
Many Israelis are thrilled that vaccinations are available against the coronavirus here. And in fact, if you do believe in taking these vaccinations, Israel is doing a phenomenal job of making it available to their public. However, some citizens are hesitant about taking an experimental vaccine. And some citizens are wondering whether the government has their best interests at heart. And I'm not just talking about Israel, but also other countries as well. With the lockdowns, the loss of businesses, people's rights and freedoms taken away, many are starting to ask, when will this be over already? And what are our rights? Do we have to go with a face mask when we can't breathe? Do we have to close our stores and not send our children to school? Do we have to have something called a green passport in order to get into public places? The green passport, by the way, is given out to people who have been vaccinated or they can show that they have antibodies after recovering from the coronavirus. However, this passport is only good for a limited time, just several months. How can people fight the idea of separating people, those with green passports and those who can't be included in public activities? What should people do if they're stopped and fined from not wearing a mask or entering a place of business and told to leave or fined by police for having guests in your home? What are our rights? Does the government really have the ability to take away these rights from us in a pandemic? As they say, I mean, at least for Americans, the Constitution doesn't say everyone has rights unless there's a pandemic. Well, we're going to be talking to a human rights lawyer today on the show. He's going to be talking to us about what our rights are. And I want to remind you of the famous saying, if you allow the government to break the law in an emergency, they will create emergencies to break the law. You're listening to the Tamar Yonah Show here at IsraelNewsTalkRadio.com. And I'd love to hear your thoughts as well. You can write me Tamar, T-A-M-A-R, at IsraelNewsTalkRadio.com. We'll be right back.
The return of the Jewish people to the land of Israel was prophesied in the Bible thousands of years ago and is coming true today. Shalom. Join me, Josh Wander, on Israel Unplugged. Listen in as we delve into the spiritual and physical aspects of the Jewish return to Zion. We'll discuss the biblically mandated, historic, and of course practical understandings of this incredible transition from exile to redemption. That's Israel Unplugged, every Monday on IsraelNewsTalkRadio.com.
All right, we're back here at the Tamar Yonah Show on IsraelNewsTalkRadio.com. And we're talking about our rights during the COVID, coronavirus lockdowns, the coercion on citizens to get a vaccine, the idea of having green passports, et cetera, et cetera. And I always like to read out this statement that I've seen lately going around saying, if you allow the government to break the law in an emergency, they will create emergencies to break the law. Now, as we know, Israelis here, many of us, are starting to get fed up. In fact, there's even a political party now running for the Knesset called Rapeh, which means only health in English, who are trying to get into the Knesset so they can take the health ministry and they can try to end the lockdowns and all of the coronavirus laws that they have taken away people's freedoms, and to try to be able to treat the corona that we have here in Israel or anywhere in the world with treatments that doctors have been coming out with that saying are highly successful. So where exactly do our rights begin? Where do they end? What can we do about it? We have joining us now Tamir Turgal. He's a human rights lawyer specializing in medical rights. He's also an entrepreneur, and he's the author of the book, The Smoke-Free Way. Recently, he has been thrust into stardom due to the forced government lockdowns and vaccination coercion in Israel and abroad. He advises people of their rights and how to behave when confronted. You can find his interviews on YouTube, and you can follow him on his social media, especially on Facebook. He has a page there as well. And we will give a link to his Facebook page on the page where this podcast afterwards, where the show is podcasted and goes out. So I want to welcome to the show Tamir Turgal.
Hi, Tamara. Thank you very much for hosting me here.
It's really good to have you on. I know that you're in high demand now. People are wondering if they can believe their government when it comes to the coronavirus lockdowns and hanchayot, or the guidelines of what we have to do, and as well as the new vaccine. And in fact, the government is saying that if you all take the vaccine, we're going to go back to the old normal and you're going to get your lives back. So, you know, listen to us, do what we're telling you to do, and we promise you, you're going to get your life back. Can we trust our government?
Absolutely not. I would say that it's kind of a controversy because they're talking about the new normal. That's the slogan they started with. Now they're talking about going back to the old normal, maybe. But that's, I think, a romantic point of view. We're not going to go back. In a way, I think, even in a spiritual way, I think the world is going something which hopefully may lead us to a better place, but it's going to take some time. And there are going to be many victims, as I see already is happening. Our governments are consist or combine from people that we, the public in a democratic state, send them to rule. But they are a public servants. They are not an elite. So they have to work for us and they have to do their mission. And their mission is to help a country, a group of people that live in together in a limited borders, to live together peacefully. So they have to be in charge of the budget, of money, of health, of building roads, whatever infrastructures, whatever it is, education. But this is a mission. It's an instrument for us, the the owners of the country, which is the public, to have a good and safe and happy lives. Now, when the governments are starting to treat us as they're trying to be, we are the servant of the country and we have to obey and we have to do stuff, then something is significantly wrong, and is this change makes them no longer, in my point of view, a government, but a regime. So that's when a country is becoming from democratic state to fascist or totalitarian one. And unfortunately, as I said at the beginning, the world is going through a phase, and this is the not the time to trust governments based on what I see as their actions.
Okay, let me play devil's advocate for a moment and say that, but the government is dealing with a life and death situation. They're doing what they believe is the safest thing for their population. And I can tell you personally, Tamir, when we first got the coronavirus last March, I remember having a couple of tears, getting teary-eyed when I saw how Netanyahu was taking charge like our Abba, like our Father, and he was going to make sure that this didn't spread, and he asked us to lock down, and I thought, wow, I was just so amazed until we had another lockdown and we saw what happened, and another lockdown. And you get smarter along the way, and then you start to ask questions saying, no, this is not right. What is going on here? And are the conspiracy theorists right? But we're not going to go there right now. But what would you say to the people who are saying we're in a life and death situation and we have to do this?
I would say that our tendency normally is and should be that we trust our governments, that we trust the people that we've sent to manage our lives as our messengers, as our servant, as our public servant, as I said. That's the initial tendency. But we have to be alert, and we have to be awake that people that we give them power, it's another tendency to use that power and to get addicted to that power. And that may go against us. Now, when you're telling me about a situation of emergency, I think this is maybe the first thing that has to come into our minds. Why would we, as a public, why would we ever adopt this way of thinking that the government has to tell us what to do in an emergency? In emergency state, we, in more than any other time, we know how to be solidarity. When there is a war, people in Israel on the Six-Day War and other wars, people came, Israelis came from all around the world, left their home, their families, their lives, and risked their lives, and some of them even gave their lives just to help their country. Why? Not because of any rule, not because of any decision of a government or officials, just because we have this solidarity in our blood. I think there is no more solidarity people than the Jewish and the Israeli people. When there is an Israeli guy or a girl after the army, most of them will go to a long trip. They want to get away a little bit, you know, to the South America or Far East. And somebody get into trouble, everybody comes along. If it's money, if it's food, if it's shelter, whatever it needs, they always go in groups. I meet people around the world that say, you know, you Israelis are always going in groups. We are solidarity to each other. We have solidarity. We support each other. This is, I think, in our DNA. When there is an emergency situation, like in Kippur Day, the government made, maybe if I remember correctly, between 11 or 13 temporary laws. In this corona thing that we're going through, 2020 over to 2021, now we're seeing, I think it's almost over 100 temporary rules, and these rules are far from being temporary. Why? Why would the government is pushing the police and other institutions to push the people to do stuff? Why don't they trust us to be in solidarity? So that brings, I think, a very strong question mark on the situation. I think when there is a problem, we are the first nation that are coming together and support each other. So I believe that when they're trying to push a new agenda here, that should be a sign for us that there is a problem with this kind of emergency. When there is an emergency, when we see people that are in danger, that are in trouble, we help them. And I just want to say one more thing before we move on. This whole new narrative of people that can be dangerous to another or can be threat to another, that doesn't seem like a phase of trying to combat a situation of emergency. It's kind of looking at our society as not solidarity society, and that people are against each other, and people are sociopath, and they don't care about others. And this is something that we should reject first and foremost as brothers and sisters of one nation.
So basically you're saying that the government is overstepping its place, that people can handle this themselves. And when we get back from the break, I want to ask you about exactly what our rights are. Can we really get fined for not wearing a mask? Is there a law in the books, or are they just doing this and people are falling into it? And what about the green passports? Can we fight that as well? We have a lot more questions coming up. Don't go anywhere. We're going to be right back.
Hi everyone, this is Andrea Simintow from Jerusalem, inviting you to drop everything and join me on my show, Pull Up a Chair. We'll visit this week's quirky stories, meet fabulous guests, and discover my Israel. Together we'll laugh, shout, and explain the topics that make us say, hey, we've got to talk about that. So get comfortable and pull up a chair with me, Andrea Simintow, every Thursday on Israel News Talk Radio.
All right, we're back here at the Tamar Yonah Show on IsraelNewsTalkRadio.com, and my guest today is Tamir Turgal. He's a human rights lawyer, an Israeli. He specializes in medical rights, and he is here talking to us about how we can regain our rights and freedoms under these emergency laws that the government is putting down on us. And Tamir, in the last segment, I wanted to talk to you about what really are our rights and how can we get our independence back. In other words, there is a law now that at least we've been told that it's a law that you cannot go out in public without a mask. And if the police catch you without a mask, they can fine you. In addition, they want to give out, or they are already giving out, what's called a green passport. And those are eligible to people who have either A, received both of their vaccines, or B, they've recovered from the coronavirus and they have natural antibodies to it. And this passport will be good for a limited amount of time. Can the government do these things? Because I don't remember any vote in the Knesset taking place that these are new laws.
Okay, so you asked me two questions about the mask and about the green passport, and I already have to apologize in advance that it will take me a little bit time to elaborate, so I'll try to be as accurate as possible. Let's start with the masks. The masks are based on a temporary law. I mentioned the temporary laws. Temporary law, by its name, it should be for a limited time. Normally, we're talking about weeks to several months. This is not what is happening right now. That's one thing that we should be worried about. However, if we're talking about the masks, we have to remember that Israel is one of those three countries in the world, only three countries in the world, that the government decided to implement masks everywhere. And that means also in open areas, not closed buildings. There is no evidence whatsoever that helps. Actually, these masks are very harmful for us. When you breathe your own air that you are taking out, that's not good for you. That also even has an effect on your coherent thinking. And there is another thing which I think is very vicious, that we have transformed our society so quickly to a society that people don't see faces anymore, don't see smiles anymore, don't see face expressions anymore. And this is very harmful for our communication. It goes all ages, from old elderly people to any other age and to kids that has to grow up in such a society. This is very harmful. And I remember that at the beginning, all the people, the professionals, most of the people from the Corona Committee, or the Israeli Corona Committee, the Corona Committee that is giving advice to the government, said that there is no use to use those masks in the open air, let alone those masks are being produced initially to be used in a control humidity area, like in operation rooms in hospitals, not in any other regular situation outside or inside a regular building.
Okay.
But beside all these ideas, logic about what is good or not so good with the masks, let's talk about the rights. And that's a question that I decided to ask the Supreme Court of Israel. And so I've done with the help of my team. And we appealed to the Supreme Court on December. Not so many people know about it because the mass media didn't want the people to know about it. And we sent an appeal about the masks. And we asked a very unique question, which is, does the government has the authority to mandate this requirement? We didn't explain that this is good or not so good. We gave some ideas about it, like I just gave you, but we said we have one serious question. It doesn't matter. Maybe it's the best thing ever to fight the corona. If it's not under the government's authority, then it's wrong to mandate. It's just not right. And in democracy, you know, the court is one of the three pillars that are balancing each other. So the court has the power to say, you know what, this is not in their authority, and we are dropping this law, this temporary law. So there were quite a few appeals to the Supreme Court during 2020, because there are many things that were concerning for the public. And every appeal that went to the Supreme Court got a reply between 3 to 5 days, whether they rejected or they accept the request and ask the government to reply. But in the court reacted in within days. With our appeal, it took the Israel court, Supreme Court, 30 days to just give us an answer. And after 30 days, they gave us an answer. And funny enough, ironically, they said, you know what? You've waited too long with the question, because it took us a few months until we appealed. And then we don't want to give you we don't want to deal with that. It's just too long. Now that's could be a joke if it wasn't that sad, because this violation by the government is happening by the day. So not only we didn't wait for too long, it's actually renewing itself every day. And I know why the Supreme Court didn't want to deal with that, because why? It's a hot potato, because the country of Israel is going through a mass propaganda. There is no objective mass media channels, mainstream media channels. Just there are no any of them, and they are unfortunately being held by people with money and with interests. And that's why what should be the fourth pillar, not the most, not official pillar of democracy, but the fourth pillar of democracy, which is the mainstream media, sending propaganda all day long. And the judges of the Supreme Court knows that if they rule that the government doesn't have the right to mandate the masks, they would be pushed over and being attacked and criticized by the mass media. That's why I think they just decided not to deal with that. But they were so sloppy with their answer that they said that we've waited too long, because the government made the mandate rule somewhere late in April 2020, and we asked the court for help on mid-December 2020. So they said, you know what, it's almost 8 months. However, that is not the truth, because they should not calculate the time from the day of the law, of the temporary law, until we came to the court. They should calculate the time from the time they made the temporary law until we asked the government to stop doing that. And that was after 5 months. And that makes sense because it took about 2-3 months until people made the decision that they don't want to wait to hold it no more. Because even if you know the government is doing something wrong, but it's under a temporary law, logically, most of the people will say, you know what, I'm not going to invest my time and money and go to the court. I'm just going to wait it to go away. And definitely when it's a new situation of a so-called pandemic, you know, people would just wait it to see what's going on. Once after 3-4 months, they saw that this is being taken too long without any serious reason. Definitely when you're talking about everywhere. And this also made a very strong impact on the Israeli society. And that's what one of the things that worries me a lot. And I will go now to talk about the green passport from here.
Okay, but you only have like a minute, okay, until we go to a break. You only have like a minute and a half until we go to a break. So it has to be very concise.
Yeah, but I want to give also an advice to the people of Israel. Because the Supreme Court did not want to... wait a second. Because the Supreme Court didn't want to give the Israeli people an answer if it's on the authority of the government or not, because they didn't say anything about it. I think it's now for the people of the country to decide for themselves. Because I think if you know that the government doesn't have the authority, if you understand that they cannot tell you what color of underwear to wear, if at all, they cannot tell you what to put on your mouth and nose. And I think that if you if we gave the court the option to help us, and they could say, you know, it isn't the authority, then we could we now don't have anything to anyone to rely on. Like this says, there is nobody to rely on beside God. So here again, the Supreme Court didn't give us a straight answer, and now it's up to us to make our own decision. Should we continue to obey this already over a year when, you know, it doesn't do any good to anybody, just doing harm?
All right. Well, we have to go to a break in another few seconds. And when we get back, I want to ask you about vaccines, because Netanyahu has stated now that we might need to get vaccinated every 6 months. He says if reelected next month, Netanyahu said that his primary mission will be to bring 36 million more vaccines over the next year to Israel. And that he says they may even now be they're talking with Pfizer and Moderna to establish a vaccine factory here in Israel. I want to ask you what you make of that. Don't go anywhere, everybody. We're going to be right back. You're listening to the Tamar Yonah Show here at IsraelNewsTalkRadio.com. We'll be right back.
Are you interested in transforming your life, drawing closer to the Creator, and uncovering the deeper meanings and hidden treasures in the Hebrew Bible?
Then join me, Rav Yitzhak Michelson.
And me, William Hall.
On The Science of Kabbalah, where we are seeking to narrow the gap between what we understand of our physical and spiritual worlds. So make sure to tune in every Tuesday at 5 p.m. Israel time, 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, here on Israel News Talk Radio.
Hello, I am Walter Bingham. If you want to hear the news behind the news and the true perspective on world affairs, then the Walter Bingham File is the program for you. We bring you interviews with the movers and shakers, political commentaries, and on-the-spot reports of events as they happen. All here every Tuesday, 4 p.m. Israel time, 9 a.m. Eastern time. And it's all archived on our website. Make it a date.
All right, we're back here at the Tamar Yonah Show on IsraelNewsTalkRadio.com, and we're talking about our rights under the coronavirus lockdowns, face mask wearing, green passports that are now be giving out, and the coercion to take this experimental vaccine. Our guest is Tamir Turgal. He's a human rights lawyer specializing in medical rights, and he's here talking to us about what our rights are. And in the last segment, Tamir, I was asking you about the green passport. This is disturbing a lot of Israelis who have chosen to wait to get this experimental vaccine. And I have a girlfriend who was just told that she wanted to join a gym, and they told her she cannot enter the gym and she cannot join it unless she can show that she has a green passport. Is this legal? What can we do?
Okay, well, the answer is definitely it's not legal. And they're trying to make it legal, which I hope will never succeed. But I want to make things very clear to the audience. There is nothing green about this. We are talking here about not about vaccination or not. And this is, I think, a failure that many people are falling into that. And I'm trying to educate the people to understand we should never talk. It doesn't matter if you're vaccinated or not, or if you're tested or not. We should never talk about our medical condition with anybody that we don't want to talk about it with. Even if you talk to a doctor, you don't have to reveal all your medical information, only whatever you think or feel that is right for you. So when they're saying, if you are not vaccinated, you cannot go to the gym. And I see also even a bigger problem that people are being getting fired from work right now.
Yes, I was going to ask you that as well.
And that's definitely not by the law, because the new law that they're trying to pass, and only today, the law about the gyms and hotels and swimming pools and other places, not so many. It's also only about servicing people. Only today, the committee in the Knesset, in the parliament, had to approve it. I don't know what they've done, but until today, it was illegal. It wasn't approved. So I'm not sure it is approved yet. And even if it's approved, I would say that we should consider it. This is a law, a rule, which is contradicting our basic human rights. I want to explain something about human rights. Human rights are fundamental, many of them. Fundamental means that as a human being, you have these rights. You're not getting these rights from the government. It's by being son of God or a daughter of God on this earth, you have a right to breathe, to
it's
work.
It's called inalienable rights.
Yes, and this is stronger than civil rights, because when you're a citizen, you have some civil rights, but the human rights, it's everywhere and every time. Mm-hmm. Some of the rights, and one of those rights is the right for autonomy, which is definitely natural human rights that nobody can diminish. Autonomy in health decisions. And autonomy can never be without privacy, because you can never make a decision by informed consent, that you get enough information and you give a consent. And by meaning giving a consent means that you can say no as well, because otherwise there is no meaning to the word consent. Consent means you can either agree or disagree, or accept or deny. However, if you are doing it because if you're doing something, or you have to, you know that the consequences of taking any kind of medical procedure or prevent yourself from any kind of medical procedure will have consequences on your life, then you don't have autonomy and you don't have any privacy. So what I'm trying to tell people all the time is keep your privacy. Just tell anybody, it's none of your business. I might be vaccinated. Might not be vaccinated. You can never know.
Okay.
And when you can never know, it's illegal to prevent you from doing anything.
All right. Tell us this, because I remember seeing another lecture that you gave on Zoom. I was at that lecture where you were telling people what to do if they want to go into a store and the store owner or someone at the door tells you cannot come in without a green passport. What should they do? What do they have the right to do?
Yeah, well, until today, and I have to see if the committee approved the new law about it. And again, even if they do, we have to check the legality about it, because, as I said, it contradicts our basic rights. Then you can call to the police and tell them, listen, the police are in charge of the peaceful managing of life. So the
call the
public
police.
Peace.
Okay, what else? What else do we do?
So this is one thing. Another thing you can do, you can document, and you can go and sue them for discrimination, and you can get a lot of money for that, because there is no authority for any store owner. If he's open to the public, he has to serve everyone in the public. He cannot say, you know, if you have a blonde hair or dark skin, you cannot come here because I don't like that. It doesn't work like that. People think because it's a private place, they can do whatever they want. No, they cannot. They have to serve everybody equally. And if they want to, if they're asking you to show them something about your medical chart in order to make a decision if you're getting in or not, when they don't have the right even to ask you that, then you can sue them for that, and you have a very strong case in court.
Okay, so you're saying, number one, if they don't let you in, call the police. If the police don't do anything, then you should video this on your phone and document it, and then take that to a lawyer, and you can sue them for discrimination.
I also think that people that are vaccinated and don't understand that their freedom is being hijacked, and one day will come in this passport or whatever they call it, a requirement that they don't want to follow, they could never go back. And when people are trying to get into places and don't care about their brothers and sisters staying outside because of this atrocity, I think they should be ashamed, and I think we should be attacking that as a society and reject that.
All right. Tamir, I want to stop you here because I have a very important question that's burning inside of me for a long time already. And we only have 4 minutes left to the show. Why is the Prime Minister doing all of this? He signs a contract with Pfizer. Israelis are not allowed to see what's in this contract. All of our medical information without our names is going to Pfizer so they can study whether their experimental vaccine is working or not. I hope it does work. I hope I'm wrong, and I hope it works. I hope it's wonderful. But all this is happening, and we know that a system or a government or people only make vaccines when there's no treatment for an illness. However, in this last year, we have learned that there is now treatment that's been found to be effective to fight off the coronavirus. First of all, 99% of the people who get corona survive. Second of all, of those who get very, very ill and sick, we know that ivermectin works. We know that hydroxychloroquine and zinc work. We know that chlorine dioxide is found to be helpful. There's even something that Israel invented for cancer patients called CD24, which has also been extremely effective in curing people who have had COVID. Why would the government under Netanyahu then be coercing people? Again, it's not law. They cannot force you to take the vaccine yet, at least, but they're calling people on the phone. Did you get your vaccine? Come and get your vaccine. When you watch the news, they finish the newscast with go get vaccinated, and they make it like it's the biggest mitzvah in the world, because maybe a lot of people do believe it is good, because then we'll get back to normal and people will be all safe. But why is Bibi doing this and not pursuing and seeing the treatments that are available and seeing that 99% of the people get better, and we don't even need to take an experimental vaccine? You have 2 minutes.
Okay. Exactly. My answer is this. I agree with all the statement that you just gave, because logic shows us that there is no reason whatsoever to push, definitely in the way that they're doing it right now, these vaccines on the population. This is also the only country in the world that there is a really, really a strong campaign about this. And there is, I would not seek for the answer in any logic. To be honest with you, I cannot explain evil and cruelty at that level. I just cannot explain it, but it's obvious for me that this is what it, this is why, where it's coming from. The only thing I want to say, because we have to end, is that there is a new election coming on. And if the remaining of the democracy that we still have, we can vote for anybody we want. And my, I'm not a political person, but my advice to the people of Israel is two things. First of all, vote for somebody that is not there. You mentioned Rapé. Rapé is a good option, but it doesn't matter. Just vote for somebody that is not there. All the 120 people over there, maybe there are a few people over there that you can, you know, consider. But seriously, they're there for a long time, and they're not. Nobody's fighting like I am trying, and my colleagues, really to really change what is happening to society so and unfortunately so quickly. And the second thing, go and volunteer as to work in the day of the election to make sure it's safe and pure, because I'm telling you, something is not right there, and there is a lot of corruption there too. So you can volunteer to be somebody that is in charge in your area, definitely in rural and remote areas, and make sure that the elections are pure as they should be.
All right, so you want new blood in there.
That's our chance. That's the only chance for now.
All right. I wish I had more time to speak with you. Tamir Turgal, thank you so much for coming on the show and letting us know what our rights are, what to do, to call the police, to document, and to take it to trial, even if you need to. We will link to your Facebook page on the page where the show is podcasted. Thank you so much for joining us here at Israel News Talk Radio.
I appreciate it, Tamar. Thank you so much.
If you love Israel News Talk Radio, then you'll love our Facebook page. We keep you up to date on what's happening in Israel, plus little surprise treasures that we don't share on the radio. Go now to follow us on Facebook. Just look for the Israel News Talk Radio Facebook page, and don't forget to subscribe and follow us by clicking on the like button. We post great stuff there that you'll want to share. Israel News Talk Radio on Facebook and Israel News Radio on Twitter.
If you're hearing this message, everyone else can too. Advertise with Israel News Talk Radio and get your message out to people. We'll build a personalized package for you. Contact advertising at israelnewstalkradio.com.
Straight talk from Israel.
You're listening to Israel News Talk Radio.
Hey, this is Jake in Anchorage, Alaska, and I love listening to all the super interesting interviews and up-to-date information on what's happening in Israel.
Hello, this is Anna King, originally from London, now living in Israel. And what can I say? Israel News Talk Radio is my cup of tea.
My name is Bhaskar. I'm from India, and I love listening because you get to know the truth and wonderful voices from this lovely country.
Mom!
Okay, wait a minute.
Hi, this is Chava Dax, and I'm calling from the rolling hills of Maale Adumim, just north of Jerusalem. I always listen to Israel News Talk Radio to get all the latest news and commentary and to keep me up to date every day.
This is Sarah Dax from Maale Adumim, and I'm 12. I wish Israel News Talk Radio was boring so my mom wouldn't listen to it all the time. Mom!
You're listening to Israel News Talk Radio.
News, opinion, and more. You're listening to Israel News Talk Radio.